Chapter number 23 of the Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a glorious little passage. And again, as I've said to you earlier, the word Jehovah Ra-Ra or Jehovah Ra-Ha is mentioned in verse number 1. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, it is Jehovah Ra-Ha or Jehovah Ra-Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you and be seated. When we think of the Lord being our shepherd, and surely from the meetings we've had thus far and the teaching on this particular psalm, surely this has come to pass in our mind. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd for a number of reasons. First of all, because He chose me to be a sheep. And then the Holy Ghost humbled me to come to the side of the Lord Jesus. And He is my shepherd. But He could never have been my shepherd had He not chosen me to be a sheep. Now, one more time, and I am not going to labor this point. I'm simply going to mention it one more time. When the good Holy Ghost brings us into the family, we have been chosen to be a sheep. And we were sheep before God ever brought us into the fold. God doesn't find us out in the wilderness as goats, as some would have us believe, and change us to sheep and then bring us into the fold. It just doesn't happen that way. We were sheep all along. We didn't know that, but God did. Isn't that something? We weren't aware of it. We were acting like goats. We were doing the thing that goats do. The nature of sheep just didn't seem to be in us at all. But one day, God's Holy Ghost awakened that nature of the sheep within us. And we found out, by the good grace of God, that we weren't goats at all, but we were sheep. And as we study the Word of God, we find that we have been sheep all along. Didn't know it, but we were. But God knew. And the glorious truth is, when God knows it, that's all that counts anyway. Because what God knows is going to come to pass. What we know may not come to pass, but what God knows shall come to pass according to His own design. So we are His because He has chosen us to be His sheep. In the thought of the Lord is my shepherd, there is perfect assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it this way. He is mine. Does that make sense to you? That's the way the sheep looked at the shepherd when he wrote this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He is mine. And I am His. Now, those thoughts we've already talked about, but think about that for a moment. Here is perfect assurance. He is mine. I don't have to wonder whether or not He is mine. He is mine. I don't have to let the midnight come in on me and not have that ray of light because I know He is mine. There is no doubt about that truth. He is mine. But now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Brother Larry, why can we not doubt in this realm? When we doubt in this realm, we're doubting sinfully. Because we're saying that the shepherd has made a mistake. Now, I'm not talking about a false assurance. And I'm not talking about some false little move down the aisle and that kind of thing. I'm saying when we know we're His sheep, that continues to be so. We are not His sheep for 10 minutes and then He changes His mind and casts us off. But we are His sheep for eternity. We are His sheep to be brought into the fold. We are His sheep to be brought into the house of God in days to come. And that's exactly what's going to happen. One of these days, by His grace, we'll get to those last phrases in this psalm. I'm in no hurry. I'm enjoying the speed in which I'm going at it right now. And if you're not, then you just go ahead. The rest of us are going to stick around a while. We're going to beat around this stump until all the juice comes out of it, and then we'll go somewhere else. But what a joy to know that He is mine. Perfect assurance, because He's purchased me with His own blood. Now, the good shepherd does a lot for the sheep. But the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, has purchased us by His own blood. We weren't purchased by silver and gold, Simon Peter said, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, as I've said earlier, that means we are precious in His sight. Why does it mean that? Because it's the precious blood of Christ that paid for us. If something precious is given for something, then that it is given for becomes precious as well. Is that right? Sure it does. As a matter of fact, it was precious before it was ever given, or else that precious substance would not have been given for it. Now, it may not be precious to you, but to the one who has bought it, it was precious. And it makes no difference what anyone else thinks about the matter. Jesus thought we were precious enough to give His own precious blood for us. So we've been purchased then by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the reason, at least one of them, that I'm His sheep. Secondly, because He's led me by His Spirit. Now, He doesn't just buy me and let me go my own way. Sheep, if they go their own way, will soon starve to death, thirst to death, or be destroyed. So it's essential then that we have a guide. And the Holy Ghost moves inside to be our guide. God never leaves us alone. Now, I know we feel like we are from time to time. And if I were to ask you tonight how many of us feel like we were alone in the past few days, I'm sure that many of you would lift your hand and say, "Brother Larry, I felt like I was alone in the past few days." But we weren't. And when we get on this side of the circumstance and look at it, we realize we weren't. Our Father never leaves us alone. Jesus has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. It's simply a reality of believing what our Lord has said as to whether or not we can have peace in the valley. That old song, "There will be peace in the valley for me." It's labored over that very truth that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of our valleys, there is peace because of the one who dwells inside of us. Our God never goes to sleep. Our God never forsakes us. And our guide never leads us in a path that we should not go. If you get in the path you shouldn't go, it's not because the guide has led you there. It's because you've chosen to go in that direction. God help us. And how often we step aside of the path, and how often we begin to get entertained from the balcony. God help us to keep our eyes on the finish line and keep a straight course in the direction God would have us go. The Spirit of God is there to direct us. I have perfect assurance. Thirdly, because He's led me, not only by His Spirit, but He's led me by His Word. Now, one more time, let's get into this for just a moment. My sheep, hear my voice. During this time of study, you need to go to the 10th chapter of John and just read it. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that you read it at least once a week, two or three times a week, and if you have the time, read it every day. Read John chapter 10. My sheep, hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then He says, to seal it all up, I and my Father are one. We have agreed on this thing. It is so, and it cannot be altered. I and my Father are one. We have agreed on this thing. So we are in the hands of the Father, we are in the hands of the Son, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise until the day of redemption. The Word of God has led us along the way. Not only do we have the Spirit to direct us, we have the Word of God to lead us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And I'll hide its words, the psalmist said, in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it is our prerogative as a child of God to be led both by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And one more time, When we falter along the way, we have done so purposefully. We didn't do it because we didn't have a guide. We didn't do it because we didn't have the Word to tell us which way to go. We have done it because we have chosen to do so. And so as the sheep looks at the shepherd, he is assured that that shepherd has purchased him. That shepherd has given him something to guide him that lives within him. And that shepherd's words are there to comfort and to guide in whatever direction he may turn. Fourthly, that assurance also comes because he's kept me by his power. When that sheep looks at that shepherd, he knows that shepherd is willing to give his life for him. He's watched him put his life on the line time and time again for him. Now hear me tonight. We don't get to see that in that form as believers in Christ because our shepherd has already gone to the nth degree for our protection. He has already overcome death, hell, and the grave for us. It is he who shakes the keys of death and hell in the face of the devil and serve notice on him that everything he's purchased belongs to him personally and the devil has no claim on it. I am surprised at the number of people who name the name of Christ who live such defeated lives because they never understand that the devil has no claim on them. Oh, but Brother Larry, the devil gives me such a fit. Most of the time, the devil doesn't have anything to do with it. You're just so full of hell yourself, you let it vent, and that's what happens to you. Say amen right there. That's where most of our problems come from. Satan has no power over us as believers. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Translated, Paul said, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. We are no longer dwellers in darkness. We are light dwellers. And because we are light dwellers, we have light wherever we go. And the truth is, the devil has no claim on us. Satan can only afflict us. He cannot possess us. A preacher friend of mine called me the other day and he said, Brother Larry, I need some help. Said, you called the wrong fellow. I don't know if I can help you or not. But he said, I need to know something. Can the child of God ever be possessed of the devil? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, tell me why. And here's exactly what I told him. I said, the Holy Ghost of God dwells within every born-again believer. A Holy Ghost and an unholy ghost cannot live in the same person. It is a total impossibility. The devil can afflict us from without. He can throw his darts and his arrows from without, but he cannot get inside. He will never possess us. We never have to worry about that as the household of faith because our shepherd has died to gain the victory over the devil and death and hell. And we don't have to worry about whether or not Satan can ever possess us. He can only afflict us. Now, if you have a problem with that and that kind of theology, I dare you to read the book of Job, and we're talking about even an Old Testament setting. And I want to tell you, we are far more precious in the eyes of the Lord Jesus than Job was in that Old Testament setting. And our Lord said to the devil, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. You can afflict him and you can oppress him, but you cannot possess him. The devil may afflict us and he may oppress us, but he cannot possess us. Glory. I know a lot of times we get so weak in our faith that we wonder, how in the world am I ever going to crawl out of this hole? Cry for the shepherd. Cry for the shepherd. Shepherd knows where you are. Cry for the shepherd. And he'll find you wherever you are. Lift you back to the path. Assure you one more time as to whose child you are. And just how powerless the devil is in your life. Sin shall have no more dominion over you. Hallelujah. Well, that's worth coming to church for right there. Some of you folks ought to go home tonight and just shout for about 2 hours. You're too shy to shout in church. Go in the bathroom, lock the door, and shout a while. Amen? Thank God. The devil cannot possess us. Sure, he can afflict us. Sure, he can aggravate us. But he cannot possess us. That's much akin to the thing I've used so often, as we were told in service. And you fellows that spend any time in service have heard this little phrase, they can kill you, but they can't eat you. Well, that never was a whole lot of consolation to me. I never could hang anything on that for some reason or other. But I'll tell you one thing, I can hang something on this. The Lord Jesus has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise in the hands of the Father and the Son. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I can hang my life on that very reality. And I can hang eternity on that truth. He's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Then there is unwavering confidence in this thought. Let me move to this next phrase. I shall not want. Now, we're just going to talk about this for a minute. We've got a lot to say here. I shall not want. Is that confidence? Now, there are 1,000 things I shan't want for, knowing that He's my shepherd. But the truth is, there is unwavering confidence in this very reality. For there is no want in the life of the believer where spiritual things are concerned. Now, you may want a lot of things in this world, but when we look at our shepherd, he is so spiritually rich that there is no thing we'll ever need that he cannot supply. Now, let me come at it another way. There is no thing that we will need as a part of his flock that he will not supply. It's not just that he can, it is that he will. It's not just that he, as our shepherd, has the ability to do so, but he has the will to do so as well. It's one thing for the shepherd to have the ability, it is another thing for him to have the will. Our shepherd has the will to do so. It is the Father's privilege to bless us. Have you thought about that recently? It is the shepherd's joy to be a blessing to the sheep. It is the shepherd's joy to rise in the morning. I thought about this Sunday morning. Boy, I got blessed. Some of you folks sitting around wondering where the grass was, and I was in it knee deep. It is the shepherd's joy to rise in the morning and take those sheep to that tender grass and to hear them bleat as they eat of that grass and are blessed by the efforts of the shepherd to get them there. If it is a joy, and only for the sense of argument the word if, just throw that away otherwise. If it is a joy for our shepherd to take us to those places, then how often do you think we ought to go there? How about that? That's why I say to you so often, when you go to the house of God, surely at least when you go to the house of God, you ought to go with a purpose in mind. For the shepherd would take us to the tall, tender grass and to the still, clear water and there be a blessing to us and a blessing to him as he sees the joy in our hearts. Now, the scripture says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. But may I say to you, there is presence there is joy in the presence of our shepherd when we follow him to the green pastures and the still waters, for it is his great joy to lead us to those places. Now, it's a shame. I wish I could get this across to every one of you. And I'm talking about not just you, but those that I'm preaching to on radio right now. Listen to me. What a tremendous joy When we begin to realize that we don't have to live on the fringes, Baptist people for all these years have satisfied themselves to live on the fringes. Just be out yonder somewhere, just be able to say, because you know we have to sin every day and we have to mark our life every day with some kind of black mark, so we just can't get any closer than out there on the fringes. I want to tell you something. You can get just as close to the shepherd as the shepherd himself. And all we need do by his marvelous grace is just follow on. Go where he goes. Listen to his voice. Get to where you can hear the whisper and don't have to hear the cry outside. Hear him as he calls your name. Get up close to him and understand what it means to live as a sheep near the shepherd rather than outside somewhere. Oh, we need to live in the rich green pasture rather than out there on the fringes where everyone else has already eaten the supply. And we're just barely getting along spiritually. I want you to know something tonight. If you're just barely getting along spiritually, it's your fault. It's not the fault of the shepherd. Just put that down tonight. You'll never be able to point at the shepherd and say, you're the reason I'm not getting along any better spiritually than I am. I'm telling you the reason you're not getting along better spiritually is because you're not following the shepherd. You're not being willing to go where the shepherd goes. He'll bring you to the green grass. He'll take you to the still waters. He'll take you to the shade in the heat of the day, and he'll sing to you all night long. Glory to God! God's little young'uns have no business living on the outskirts. Thank God we have every privilege that any old saint of God has ever had to get in near where he is. I want to tell you something tonight. I refuse to live on the edge. Glory to God. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, but I'll tell you one thing before God Almighty. There is absolutely no reason for God's young'uns to live out yonder when we can live in here. You can rob yourself of that if you will. God help us along the way to learn a lesson or two and just learn that his riches are unsearchable. Unwavering confidence because he has everything I need. Secondly, unwavering confidence because his power is almighty. Let me just say it to you right here and you go study it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now just study that for a while. Read what Paul has to say. And find some circumstance, if you will, that can separate you from the almighty power of God Almighty and the almighty love of our shepherd. And I'm going to tell you tonight you're going to find nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, because of his faithfulness. Now, our faithfulness is failing from time to time, isn't it? But his faithfulness never fails. We call folks faithful that fail constantly. But I'm not talking about one who's ever failed. I'm talking about one who is consistent in his faithfulness. Sheep learn by repetition. Does that sound familiar? You learn by repetition. If that shepherd is faithful, he'll come to that flock or he'll awake that flock at the same moment every morning. This will bless you if you'll hang around a minute. But he'll awake those sheep at the same time every morning. And those sheep become accustomed to the faithfulness of the shepherd. They know the moment he's going to call their name. They know the moment he's going to take the gap down and they're going to head out for the pasture. They begin to learn the faithfulness of the shepherd. And when there is a problem in the flock, they learn that he's faithful to be there to take care of the situation. And confidence begins to build because they have experienced his faithfulness time after time after time after time after time. He's faithful and the confidence builds and the sheep fear not those things around them. There is great peace and comfort. There is no want of any comfort because they are satisfied that the shepherd knows what to do. He knew what to do the last time and the last time and the time before that, and He'll know what to do this time as well. And they're confident because they've passed through the valleys with Him before. Glory to God. The very thing that brings contentment in the life of the believer is consistency on the behalf of the shepherd. And I'll tell you tonight, you'll never be able to bring a black mark against His consistency. Therefore, there ought to be great comfort, great consolation in our own heart. Contentment beyond words, because we have seen by experience that our shepherd has never failed. That's a pretty good track record, isn't it? If He's never failed in the past, then He'll never fail in the future. Now, let me close with this tonight. I'm assured and I'm confident because His love is unchanging. When I was a little boy, I was singing the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. We're weak, but He's strong." I was singing that song one morning in a Sunday school class. And after we'd sang that song, the teacher said, "Does Jesus love us even when we're bad?" And every one of us had the same reply. 8 or 10 boys in that class. And every one of us had the same reply. Every one of us said no. Because all we had to relate it to was the way Mom and Dad reacted when we were bad. And we always thought Mom and Dad didn't love us when we were bad, no matter how many times they told us they did, because they beat the devil out of us. And we equated love with a kiss on the cheek and a pat on the head rather than beating the devil out of us. And it was hard to get this thing in our head at that point. Now listen what happened. He set us all down. We didn't sit in the chairs that morning. We sat in the floor. We pushed the chairs back again the wall, and we all sat in the floor. And He sat right down in the middle of we boys in that floor. And He said, "Now boys, let me tell you something." He said, "God's love is like no other love. Even when you're bad, it doesn't change the fact that He loves you." I've never forgotten that. Boy, that welded itself to my soul that morning. And I may not have always been able to recall it when I needed it, but time and time again, Brother Danny, that thing's come back to me, and God's Holy Ghost has assured my heart over and over again, even when we're not what we ought to be, that hadn't changed His love for us. Are you telling me, Brother Larry, that the Lord still loves us, even when we're not doing what we ought to do? I'm telling you that God's love is unchanging. Are you hearing me? God's love doesn't change because you don't do what you ought to do. I want to tell you something. There wouldn't be one of us in here tonight that was loved of God if that were so. God doesn't love us just when we're good. And while I'm on this point, let me just mention this to some of you parents. You need to tell your children you love them even when you have to whip them. I never spank a child around here at school, but what I tell them, I love them. I tell them before I spank them, and I tell them after I spank them. I let them know that I love them. And what they've done hadn't changed the fact that I love them. When I spanked my children, that didn't change the fact that I love them. Not for one moment. And our Heavenly Father, now listen to my words. He's never changed His degree of love, and He's never changed His design of love toward us. Hallelujah. Am I comforted in that? Am I assured in that? Thank God I am. His love is not changed by the circumstances either in my life that are under my control or those things that are outside my control. He loves me. He loves me unchangingly. Glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now you can shake my faith in people, but you're not going to shake my faith in the shepherd. We've been down the road too far. Been too many ditches, too many midnights, too many wild beasts, too many serpents, too many times that He's come to the rescue. I'm not talking about once in a while. I'm saying every single time He's come to the rescue. You may shake my faith in people, but you're not going to shake my faith in the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. One.